Saints, our lives have been enriched. We have been provoked to draw closer to you. We have been encouraged in a walk of righteousness and holiness. And we ask now, Lord God, that you would open the very floodgates of heaven and pour out mighty blessing upon blessing over these two. I pray, Lord, for the fullness of your Spirit in ways they haven't even experienced yet in their lives, to be released from on high. Power like they've never known from on high. Pour out your Spirit, Lord God. Pour out your Spirit and bless them today.
Lord, I just stand with my family in the flesh here today and the family that is mine in Jesus Christ. And we acknowledge, Lord, there is no more wonderful family than we have in all equally being members of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And we set that genealogy on high. And thank you, Lord, for every blessing that has come to our earthly families through God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, by the Holy Spirit. And I just simply stand, Lord, with my friends and family here to bless my dearest mom and dad. And I thank you, Lord, from that day when you called them to be prophets to the nations, that you have been a good God to us. And we thank you that your word has been powerful. It has been like a sword. And I just, Lord, as a son, rise to bless them. I thank you, Lord, for every grace of the Godhead that has touched my life and the life of every member of our family. I thank you, Lord, for the humility and the mercy of the character and the heart of God that has been visible and made manifest and bored into our spirits. And I thank you, Lord, for their faithfulness. I thank you, Lord, for every burden borne and every cost paid. And yet, Lord, I know their heart's cry is to know you. And it's always been the message, Lord, in their mouth. And therefore, Lord, I pray that you will bless them in these years with many, many more years of the knowledge of God and the prophetic declaration of it to the nations of the world. And we thank you for bringing them among us today, Lord, and this celebration and their anniversary. And we just receive of your aroma on them and through them. And pray now, Lord, as your word comes, it'll come as a sharp sword. And it'll be your piercing of our heart, but the building up of our lives. We ask these things in your precious name, Jesus. Amen.
We have some gifts to present them.
Campbell and Sheila, as much as this church has had spiritual parents in the Lord, you have been that to us. And many of you don't know this, but our first Sunday that we came together as a church, you were with us and brought a word, and it was hot. And here we are again, and we have asked, everything was hot. And here we are again, and we're asking the Lord to do some new things in this church, and it's so wonderful to have you here with us. And I think so often, just in the middle of the night, I'll think of something that you have taught, or just an aside, and I'll think, oh, that's right, I remember when I was younger, and you were here among us, and just wanting to run to hear the fruit of what the Lord had showed you because you had waited long hours in front of him. And we just do honor you so much. And we have a little illumination to present to you, and it is still the best word and the only name, and it is Jesus. And underneath it is the fruit, and your fruitfulness comes from him. And we have a card also, and I'd like to read it. To Campbell and Sheila McAlpine, with the love of Jesus and with thanksgiving for your witness among us, may your birthday bring everlasting joy because his hand is on you, Campbell. Your fruitfulness comes from him. And may he bless your 50 years of marriage with the greatest joy and bring you fulfillment of the deepest desires of your hearts. Christ in you, the hope of glory. from Christ Our Shepherd Church, Washington, D.C., May 16th, 1998.
Thank you.
Love you.
Bless you. It's lovely. All your handiwork.
And we also have some flowers that we're praying are not wilted. And something for your sweet tooth that we're also praying is not wilted. But we have spoons back there if it is wilted. So we love you.
Yes. Well, what can we say? Just 1,000 thanks. We didn't expect this. And it is both privilege and pleasure to be here. All we can say is goodness and mercy have followed us all the days of our life, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We are touched by your kindness. You're a church we pray for every day, and it's just wonderful to be with you. And thank you for the lovely flowers, lovely gifts. Thank you. God bless you.
I missed the offering. Okay. The reading today is from Psalm 93. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also is established, that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. This Amen. Is the word of the Lord. Thanks Amen. Be to God.
Amen.
Amen.
Right. Such joy to be here, and counting the blessings, of course, is for us is the great blessing of our family being here. And the Lord has been so good to us. Our daughter Patricia, she'll be joining us later on this week. And we just praise God for his goodness as a family. Answered prayer before they were born. When they were born, their mother had three prayers, that they'd love God, they'd love one another, and love the people of God. And I don't think any higher prayer could be prayed for than that. There are three words which were read by John in Psalm 93, which down through the ages and the lives of many saints have inspired them, have encouraged them, have strengthened them, have caused them to go on when the going was tough. And these three words are simply, the Lord reigns. Every aspect of our Christian life is dependent upon what we think about God, who he is, where he is, what he's done, and what he's going to do. And it's so wonderful in this great city of this great nation that we together today can proclaim that truth. The Lord reigns. Amen. He always has reigned. He is reigning. And he always will reign. And it's this truth which brings everything into proper perspective and into proper focus, whether it's our individual lives or our church life or our business life. There's great truth that the Lord reigns. It's not meant to be some cold repetition of some doctrine. It is meant to be a truth which brings great joy to our hearts. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad. Let men say among the heathen, the Lord reigns. It is the wedding march sound which we're going to hear one day. Not by some accompanied by some quiet background music, but by a sound which sounds like thousands of waterfalls and peals of thunder. And the wedding's about to take place, and the great announcement is made, hallelujah! The Lord our God omnipotent reigns, and the marriage supper of the Lamb has come, and the bride has made herself ready. And not only is it a great truth which is meant to bring joy, you're glad about that?
Yeah,
great joy to our hearts. It is meant to bring great confidence to you and me. And we need this truth and we need this confidence because of where we are and what's going to happen. Because, friend, things are not going to get better, they're going to get worse. And four people said,
amen.
Nothing. But the truth which is going to be our strength and the strength of the church is the simple three words, the Lord reigns. It brings confidence to the heart. It was that time, remember, hymn number one in the Bible, Exodus 15, when God had dealt with the waters, parted the Red Sea. Israel watched the enemy, every man, jack of them, disappear out of sight. And then Moses and the children of Israel, they sang that first hymn in the Bible. They looked back to what God had done. He has triumphed gloriously. They looked at what he was. The Lord is my strength and song. He's become my salvation, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. And then the great confidence came when Moses announced, the Lord shall reign forever and forever. It was that truth which strengthened Job in all his manifold troubles and disasters. Losing his wife, his family, losing his property, losing his health. But something burned in this man's heart that kept him going. Because he knew the end of the story was going to be right. That one day his living Redeemer would with his own feet stand upon the earth. And this mighty, glorious, holy God would reign. It is a truth that's meant to bring into our hearts that reverential fear of God. The psalmist said, the Lord reigns. Let the people tremble. Let the people have reverence. Sometimes a missing element. But when we have a concept and an increased concept of what God really is like, what Jesus at this moment is like, it has one result. We want to reverence and fear God. I was just saying the other day there, Stuart was over. I remember when I was a boy, I wasn't a Christian until I was 27, but I remember going to church. I remember people coming into church and bowing their heads. I've been in many Anglican services, church services, and the people come and they bring out the little stools and kneel down. And I thank God for the liberty he gives us in worship. I thank God we can do what the Bible says, to raise our hands and to clap and rejoice in the Lord. But there's something else, friends. There's an awesomeness of God that sometimes grips our hearts, and there's only one thing we can do, and that's kneel before the Lord our Maker. What was it the devil wanted when he tempted Jesus? He showed him all the glories of the world. He said, I'll give this all to you if you'll just do one thing. If you'll just bow down before me. And around the world today and every single day, there are millions of people. Many, I'm sure, would be shocked at the thought. Many, I'm sure, do it in ignorance, and may God give them light. Millions of people, four or five times a day, bow down. Oh, the Lord God, he reigns. And sometimes in our thought and thinking, we think of God and his beloved son, Jesus, and we walk through the gospel so many times and get blessed, and We watch him and we hear him pray. We see him do his miracles. We hear him preach. We visualize perhaps what he was, but friends, he's not like that anymore. He's majestic. Head and hair as white as wool, as white as snow. Girt about the chest with a golden girdle. Feet burning like brass. Eyes like fire. Out of his mouth a sharp two-edged sword. That's our God. That's our King. That's who we've been with this afternoon. And how great is the grace of God that we can reverence him without a fear which contains terror, but just something of the wonder of who he is, this great and glorious and wonderful God. There is not enough words in the English language or any other language to describe his glory, his holiness, his power, his justice, his unchangeableness, his uprightness, his faithfulness, his mercy, his long-suffering, his compassion, his almightiness, his power. He is the upholder of all things. He is God. And this Lord God is the one who reigns. Here we are within a mile, I suppose, of the one of the greatest rulers in the world, according to man. Our God reigns. And I love what the psalmist says, and I think perhaps we should do it this afternoon. It says, let men say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes. When I was praying this morning about coming, I thought, this is marvelous. That here in the center of this great city, that you will find a group of your blood-bought people who will obey your word and say with your mouth, the Lord reigns. Let me hear it.
The Lord reigns.
He reigns. When I raise my hand like that, I want you to say, the Lord reigns. Are you ready? I'll keep you awake this afternoon. The Lord reigns. He's king over all the earth.
The Lord reigns.
He's governor among the nations.
The Lord reigns.
He's a great king over all the earth.
The Lord reigns.
He's the King of kings and Lord of lords.
The Lord reigns.
This Lord is king forever.
The Lord reigns.
He's far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named.
The Lord reigns.
All authority is given to him in heaven and in earth.
The Lord reigns.
He's head over all things to the church.
The Lord reigns.
He reigns over every continent, over every nation, every town, every village, every hamlet. The Lord reigns. It matters not, friend, if people do not accept his reigning. It doesn't alter his situation. Over there in our country, in England, there's a group of people that don't agree with the monarchy. It doesn't make one single bit of difference. The Queen's still in Buckingham Palace this afternoon. The Lord reigns. He always has reigned. He is reigning. And he always will reign. Jesus shall reign where'er the sun does his successive journeys run. His kingdom stretched from shore to shore till moon shall wax and wane no more. Governments change, governments come and go, presidents change, kings change, prime ministers change, but the King reigns unchanging forever and forever. He reigns over the world, it's his world. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He reigns over death. He reigns over the devil. He reigns over sickness. He reigns over circumstances. Yeah. And he sure wants to reign over you and over me. And you see, although we did not understand very much about it, probably understood so very, very little, when God in his grace and mercy saved you and me, we bowed our hearts and perhaps bowed our knees, and we were convicted of our sin and we chose to repent and turn from it and believe that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. When that happened, that miracle of God's grace took place, and we were numbered amongst the redeemed. And we said something, perhaps not in the exact words, but said something. We confessed Jesus Christ is Lord. But that thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus to be Lord and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And although we didn't know much about it, what we were really saying is Jesus is King. He's King. He's King over a kingdom. And God, by his grace and mercy, has brought you and me into this kingdom. It's called the kingdom of God. It's called the kingdom of his beloved Son. It's called the kingdom of heaven. That's where the headquarters is. And this mighty, glorious God who reigns, he reigns over a kingdom. The kingdom is not of this world. As Jesus said when they arrested him, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. Because that's not the kind of kingdom that I'm king of. His kingdom is composed of those who are poor in spirit and who mourn and who hunger and thirst after righteousness, who are merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers, persecuted sometimes for righteousness' sake. That's his kingdom. And this is a wonderful thing in planet Earth at this time. There are multitudes of people, in spite of all that's going on and all that will go on. There are multitudes of people, including us by God's grace, say, thank you, God, we're in your kingdom. The Lord God, he is King. He's the purpose of our living. He's the object of our worship. He's the pattern of our behavior. He's the basis of our unity. He's the supplier of our every need. He's the King who's dealt with our past, who is the ever-present I Am, and who is the guarantee for our future. He's King. As Paul said in Romans, his kingdom is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Aren't you glad you're in the kingdom? And this great kingdom over which the Lord God is King, it's an ever-increasing kingdom. Kingdoms come and go. His is an ever-increasing kingdom. As Jesus said one day, I'll tell you what it's like. It's like the tiniest little mustard seed. It grows into a great tree. Started off with a few. 500 saw Jesus after his resurrection. There they were on the day of Pentecost, filled with the Holy Ghost. Then the tree begins to grow, 3,000 converted. Then he added to the church daily such as should be saved. And this kingdom over which he is King keeps growing until one day there's going to be a multitude that no man can number. This kingdom over which he reigns, like an ever-increasing, growing kingdom. It's a kingdom that's open to all. As Jesus told the parable about the king laying on a marriage for his son, saying, go and tell people to come who have been invited and they didn't come because Jesus came unto his own and his own received them not. Then go out into the byways and highways and bring them in. Take the message, the gospel of the kingdom to all nations, which says, whosoever will may come. His kingdom is open to all who will bow the knee and bow the heart and acknowledge that he is King. Glorious kingdom. Aren't you glad you belong to it? He's King. When we realize he's King, when we realize what we're in, then the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. We're not trying to build something here. We're trying to build something there. We're not trying to lay up treasure on earth. We're trying to lay up treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, nor thieves break through and steal. Our eyes are not on this kingdom. We've got to live, of course. We've got to eat. We've got to work. But we're a people that have an eye in the future. A city whose builder and maker is God. Out there in our viewpoint, there's a little word, eternity. Because the King has this great kingdom which is absolutely eternal. And sometimes it's good for you and me just to pause and be reminded not of something that we've never heard, but something we know. But bring things, as it were, into right perspective of who He is, what He's like, what He's brought us into. And David, don't you love that man, David? I love that man, David. If I'm looking forward, I suppose I'll have to get in line. But I'd like to meet David. I'd like to shake him by the hand. I want to like to say one day, oh, King David, I can't tell you how much you bless me. I can't tell you how much you provoked me. The man who has more prayers recorded in the Bible than anybody else. The man who has more praise recorded in the Bible than anybody else. The man who's got more thanksgiving in the Bible than anybody else. A man of whom God, not man of whom God said, he's a man after mine own heart. When I hear that of a man, I want to get as close. I want to rub shoulders, say, well, please let something rub off from you unto me. But this man, with all his experience, even his mistakes, which we're so apt to remember, but this man, with all he did, what was one of the burning things which caused that impetus for God in his heart? And one of the things was this: God reigns. Yes, yes. He reigns. He's above the circumstances. The Lord God reigns. He says he's clothed in majesty. Majesty. Greatness. Honor, dignity, beauty, grandeur, might, kingliness, royalty. That's our God. Everything about God is majestic. He's not just someone to run to when we're in a fix or we have a great need. He's majestic. Everything about him is majestic. And you remember out of David's heart, contemplating, meditating on God, he said, oh, God uses the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty, for all that's in the heaven is yours. Oh, God, expand my, our knowledge of what our God, our King, is like. Why, the Bible says even his voice is full of majesty. One day he spoke and someone said, hey, that was thunder. His kingdom is majestic. You and I belong to a majestic kingdom. We are the aristocracy of planet Earth, not because of us, but because of him. We've been brought into a majestic kingdom to see this glorious, wonderful God in all his glory. This truth either attracts people or repels them. Do you know that? Remember, you and I, day by day, friends, come for our, whatever you call it, quiet time. Or we bow the knee. Who are we bound to? The greatest majesty that is possible for us to come. No wonder he's worthy of reverence and respect and joy and intimacy. So we can say to this great and glorious King, out of the truth of our hearts, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. I love that. I wake every morning, I say that every morning, not out of mere repetition. Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Everything about him is majestic. See, the Bible says, friend, that one day, perhaps not too far distant, that people here in Washington, D.C., and other parts of the states and other parts of the world, they're going to run and they're going to look and they're going to try and find a hole or a cave to hide them from the majesty of the one who sits upon the throne. His mercy, all immense and free, that thou, O God, dost die for me. And we don't want to run from, but we want to run to. When we think of all his majesty and glory and power, we saw it, the disciples got a glimpse of it there on the Mount of Transfiguration, where his face did shine as the sun, his raiment was white as light. Or as Peter, we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. But as Saul of Tarsus had to describe it, it was a light brighter than the noonday sun. Majestic. Who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he himself had purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Praise God, that's where Jesus is. That's where he is, majesty on high. And then the psalmist says, he not only is he clothed with majesty, but he's clothed with strength. Aren't you glad about that? Friend, let's face it, there's times, many times, you and I feel anything but strong. But that strength is not dependent upon how we feel. It's not dependent upon circumstances. That strength is always dependent upon the King. That's why, as I mentioned before, what Moses said in Exodus 15, the Lord is, present tense, now my strength and song. He's become my salvation. Why is he my strength? Because the King is clothed in strength. The Lord is my strength. Say that with me, please. The Lord is my strength. I don't feel strong, Campbell. I don't care how you feel. Say it again. The Lord is my strength. You don't know what I'm facing, brother. Say it again. The Lord is my strength. Clothed with strength. Oh, isn't it wonderful? One day we're going to see him. But you see, it's when we get glimpses with the aid of the Holy Spirit of what our God and his beloved Son is like, that we have a greater appreciation of what Jesus laid aside to bring you and me into the majesty of this majestic kingdom. Think of this wonderful, glorious Son of the living God, clothed with majesty and strength. And he takes it and he lays it all aside. Like that lovely picture when he washed the disciples' feet in John chapter 13. He says he laid aside his garments, took a towel, bent the knee, washed the feet, because he chose to lay that aside and be clothed with humanity and clothed with humility, that you and I one day might have an entrance into this glorious eternal kingdom. Hallelujah. What a Savior. How greatly Jesus must have loved me. How greatly Jesus must have loved me. And they took him and they mocked him and they took his own robes from him and they put on a purple robe. They put on a gorgeous robe. They bowed the knee and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And I love a statement that Mark makes.
Then they put his own garments on him. What are his own garments? He is clothed with majesty. He is clothed with strength. He is clothed with honor. He is clothed with power. That's our God. That's our King. That's our Lord. That's our Savior. And the psalmist says, he's established the earth that it can't be moved. Oh, friends, get that into your heart because we're going to need it. For thus saith the Lord, he said, it is a little time. I'll shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake nations. For as Hebrews says, I will shake till the things that cannot be shaken will remain. That's why it's so important I remind you about this truth, mind my own heart, friend, that God reigns, that he has established the earth, because trouble's coming. You and I know there is no security except in God. With all the fears, the people living today, is a job secure? Am I going to be made redundant? What about it? What's going to happen in Japan? Is the stock market going to collapse? Whatever, whatever, whatever. But for you and me and the child of God, we're not living for this world. We know because the word of God is true. And we're living in a day, I don't say this judgment, God forbid, I'm kept too busy with my own heart. But I find today there are so many optimistic prophecies, something great is going to happen down the road there. Unjudged prophecies that brings the hallelujahs from the congregation, but don't tie up to the word of God. And I love what the Bible says when Peter says, we have a sure word of prophecy. That's like a light that shines in the darkness, and it's not a private interpretation. We're living in a day where people want new words, something new for today, new things. I want to tell you, friend, as far as prophecy is concerned, God can give prophecy, and that prophecy can cover a period of 100, 200, 300 years, more. It's amazing, I thumbed through the Gospel of Matthew the other day, then interesting, as the prophet Ezekiel said, as the prophet Isaiah said, but it's when these things happen, people say, this is it. And most time prophecy is seen when it's fulfilled. So, this is what God said. That's what happened the day of Pentecost. When they say, this is that. And the reason why we have to know this, because we need our security to be in him. Because as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be. And go into Timothy and all these characters, Matthew chapter 24, of what the last days are going to be like. Hey, folks, don't let's be blind. They're moving. Do you know the world is moving? The last 10, 20 years, it's just moving. Society is being deteriorated, and rule and law gets less. It's just happening little by little by little by little. And the wonderful thing is, friend, you and I need not fear. Because we're in the kingdom of God, and we know that our God, the Lord, reigns. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of need. I would advise of any of you sort of future planning for your holidays, please don't book on the 26th of October, 2028 for a cruise. Because the scientists tell us that's when this asteroid is going to hit planet Earth. I read that, I thought, boy, I appreciate the intelligence of men, I appreciate the scientific knowledge, I appreciate the knowledge of astronomy and so forth, but I just shook my hand and said, that's old hat. Isaiah, centuries ago, said, this world is going to reel like a drunken man. Well, turn over to the book of Revelation and get some accurate details. There's going to be a mountain burning like fire, said the second angel, cast into the sea. A third of the sea will become blood, a third of the creatures will be destroyed, and a third of the ships will be destroyed. That's what's coming. That's one of the sure words of prophecy. But you see, when we know the Lord reigns, the earth is established, not only the earth, but the psalmist said in that Psalm 93, your throne, O God, is established. You never alter, you never move, God. And we needn't be afraid. Though the earth be removed, though the mountains be removed, God is our refuge and strength. Oh, friends, let's all together run into that strong name today. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. We are meant to be the most secure people on planet Earth. And we're not depending upon things in the world. Let me say again, we're not here to lay up treasure on earth. We're here to lay up treasure in heaven. This wonderful God who reigns. And the psalmist says, and I'll finish fairly soon because this could go on forever and ever and ever. Amen. The Lord reigns. He is mightier than the noise of many waters. Oh, I love that. He is stronger than the things that shake us. He is stronger than the things that make us afraid. The voices that come, the voices of accusation, the voices of condemnation, the voices of temptation, the voices of criticism, the voices of judgment. How many voices have come into all of our lives from time? David said, the floods of ungodly men have made me afraid. But then he went back into that place of refuge. And friend, that's what life is really like. The floods rise, the waves, sometimes we call the waves breakers. And sometimes we feel like that, don't we? As if all hell is let loose against us and we haven't got an explanation. And God isn't obligated to give us one either. And the breakers come and the floods rise. But the wonderful thing the psalmist says, the Lord, the King, this majestic, glorious, strong King, he's above the waters. Like a dear saint, which one was that was dying and wrote to a friend and said, the waters are rising, but I'm rising too. That may perhaps be the situation of some here today, I don't know. And it just seems that the floods have hit against our circumstances, waves and breakers. And like Jesus himself, we cry out, oh, my God, why? Friend, the Lord is above the sound of many waters. When the enemy comes in like a flood, Isaiah said, the Lord will raise up a standard against them. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When our lives are established on Jesus Christ, the rock, and the floods rise and the storms rage, you and I know the Lord reigns. And I fully believe that we got such a wonderful God and glorious Father that not one circumstance ever happens in your life or my life without a divine purpose. He's got his finger on the pulse. Oh, sometimes he allows the waves just to blow us back on course because we've got off course. But sometimes in the very center of the will of God, there's a storm. She said prophetically of Jesus, all your waves and billows have gone over me. But even there on the cross in these desperate hours, he knew God reigned. Father, my God, my God. Father, into your hand I commit my spirit. You reign, O God.
Where did you ever read in this book that God promised you or me an easy time? How can we experience the upholding faithfulness of God unless we've known it? When the storms have been raging and you haven't got an answer and the skies look like brass and the more you pray, the worse things seem to get. Perhaps even in weakness of faith. And borrow the words of a Job, even though he slays me, I'm going to trust him because he's king. Your king, my king, our king. And then he closes as I will. He says, your testimonies are very sure. This great king, I tell you, you can trust his word. You can trust what he says. If you gave you a promise 20 years ago and it hasn't been fulfilled, if God gave you that promise, as sure as God is God, it is going to be fulfilled because it's the word of a king. It's the word of majesty. It's the word of strength. It's the word of power. And then he goes and thinking of this wonderful, glorious king. He says, oh God, holiness adorns your house. That's the effect. It's not just a truth that gets into our heads, gets into our hearts. Oh God, what grace that you ever saved me. What grace you brought me into your kingdom. What grace that I know the King. Therefore, oh God, I want to please you. I want to please you. You're not only a majestic and a strong king, but oh, you're a holy king. The Lord reigns, folks. Let me hear you say it again.
The Lord reigns.
How long is he going to reign? The Lord reigns forever and ever. Say it. The Lord reigns forever. He reigns over all the earth. He reigns over every nation. He reigns over every church. There's a little chorus we sing in Britain. I don't know if you have it here. Reign in me. Sovereign Lord, reign in me. Reign in me. Sovereign Lord, reign in me. Captivate my heart. Let thy kingdom come. Establish there your throne. Let your will be done. Is he reigning? Right?
Lord reigns.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, Lord reigns. Good. Unintentional. I like that.
Lord reigns.
Oh, it works.
Lord reigns.
Amen. The Lord reigns. Hear me. Everything. Our individual lives, marriages, home, business, work, everything or any realm in which God does not reign is going to be a disappointment. It's going to be a failure. And we just say in our hearts, amen, Lord. That pocket of trouble I've got there, it's because you haven't been reigning. But Lord, let the King of Glory come in.
Yeah.
My life, Lord, compromise, doesn't work out, I'm as miserable as sin. Lord, I don't want it. Reign in me. Blessed Lord, reign in me. Reign in my home, reign in my family, reign in the church. I walked around with you this morning, that new church you're thinking about. Look at it, wonderful. Amen, Lord. Reign there.
Reign
there.
Rule.
Put a place there, Lord, of people who say, the Lord reigns. A few hundred yards from the capital, the Lord reigns there. And shall reign forever and ever. We bless you, Father.
Yes,
we acknowledge. Yes, Lord, we bow our heads. We bow our hearts before your awesome majesty. We can only borrow the words of any of another Lord and declare we're not worthy of the least of your mercies.
Yes,
but you've been merciful.
You brought us to yourself. You've saved us. We confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord. Yes. Bless your beloved people, Lord. Some here, I don't know them, Lord. Some, the storms, the floods seem to. But thank you, Lord, they will not overflow them. Thank you, Lord, you've got a purpose. Amen. Thank you, Lord, you reign. And they're going to bring glory to your name. Amen.